It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which I actually have something I need to send to you, Kobe, to put on the blog.
Hey, there's going
to
be something new this
week. We will have some content because I was very excited about some Blu-ray release news happening this week. So anyway,
not
I will
Gone with the Wind.
No, not Gone with the Wind. Nobody, nobody wants. Well, except for your wife.
Oh yeah, see, thank you.
Yeah, no, your wife. Anyway, that's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
It's also the Silver Stake game.
Yes, this is Silver Stake week.
This is the fantasy football portion of the film show. Just a reminder that if my team wins, I get to pick a Pam Grier movie.
No, if my team wins.
If your team wins, you have to watch a Pam Grier movie of my choosing.
And you buy me a steak.
And I buy you a steak. Now, if I win, which
should... Raw steak.
Raw steak. You buy me a steak, and then I pick out a movie for you that's not going to be too freaky.
Right.
I go to the non-freaky portion of the library.
Blue Velvet is not a gateway.
Blue Velvet is not a gateway. I understand that. But you handled Psycho well.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I kind of know where the line is drawn. And as we learned in the intro, there's such a fine line between stupid and clever. So, anyway, Silver Stakes game is happening. But we have guests, and we have lots of stuff going on. But we have a gentleman on the line, and I think he's getting ready for an audition. And so hopefully he won't blow it by talking with us. Dan, are you there?
Oh, hey.
Hi, Dan.
Good to see you come in. Man, you're really hard on folks who like Gone with the Wind, huh?
No, it's not that. It's not that my producer's wife.
My wife loves Gone with the Wind, and I would not take her to see the 75th anniversary screening of it a couple weeks ago in theaters. Because that's a haul.
That's $12.50 ahead of 4 hours on the giant screen, and she claims to have watched it 100 times. Dan, this is the film she says that she has on as background noise in the house.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think, like most people, how many times would they watch their favorite movie?
I'm wearing my Charlestown Chiefs jersey. I've probably seen Slapshot that many times, but it's not 4 hours long.
No.
Right.
No. See.
Okay.
So I guess, Dan, we'll ask you, what is the film that you have on in the background when you're piddling around the house, besides your own films?
I don't have a film on in the background when I'm fiddling around the house. I find that incredibly distracting. I'm like the only person I know who finds it impossible to not pay attention to a movie that's on. I can't fall asleep during a movie, even if I hate it. I can't walk out. I'm just compelled to watch every second of every scene. So, when I'm fiddling around the house, I have like audio on and I'm listening to music. But movies that I love would be like recently I rewatched Apocalypse Now.
Redux? Like, original or Redux?
No, the Redux.
Very good. Yeah. Love the plantation scenes.
The place I'm staying at here, I'm kind of crashing for a couple of weeks in Los Angeles, and my host has this insane Blu-ray collection, so kind of going through all the classics there.
That's a great choice. I have the Apocalypse Now box set on Blu-ray, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So now, please, I hope I'm saying Dan Abramovici.
Yeah,
Okay, is Dan?
It sounds fun like that. It's Abramovich, but Abramovich.
Abramovich.
Adds a little zest to it, a little bit of spaghetti and meatballs. It's nice.
But yeah, but it's not cloudy. So anyway, Dan is Dan is a star, co-writer, and co-producer of the film Ben's at Home, which was at the Indianapolis International Film Festival and is going to be at the Heartland Film Festival next week, Saturday the 18th at 8:15 p.m. and Friday the 24th at 8:45 p.m. both at Castleton 14. You can go to heartlandfilm.org for all the information. And I know you have a film website as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's imaginatively titled bensathome.com.
You got that. You didn't have to get 1 or 2 or 16.
I got that to myself.
That's good for you.
Now, all for me.
Now, this is a film, and it's a quick little jaunt about the pros and cons, I guess, of isolation. You're the creator of this, sir. Tell us a little more about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a film about sex, love, dating, breakups, and turning 30 and staying in is sort of our sexy little tagline there. And really, it's a story of a guy who, shortly after turning 30 and a terrible breakup with his ex-girlfriend, makes the unusual decision to not leave the house anymore. He doesn't want to go out and date. He doesn't want to do the single life scene, and a bit on a dare, a bit for his own, a little challenge to himself. He decides to not leave the house anymore. And thanks to social media and being an overall reasonably resourceful guy, he makes it work and it becomes a thing until shenanigans ensue.
Uh-oh.
And then conflict, movie arc, etc.
Plot things.
Yeah, we call them plot things and character things.
Plot things, colors, shapes, sounds happen. And
shenanigans will ensue.
Various chicanery.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, in terms of putting it together, both myself and my writing partner, we funded the film ourselves. We knew that we would be making a film that we ourselves would fund and then finish with the kindness of the Toronto independent film community. So nobody got paid. Gear was donated to us, and we shot the thing in 10 days. And when we were putting the story together, we wanted to touch on two things. We wanted a story that would feel relevant to us, and we were both at that point in our late 20s, early 30s, where everybody, all our friends, it felt, were growing kind of up and apart from each other. And you know, going out on like a Friday night wasn't what it used to be. It would be largely, oh, well, you know, the babysitter, I have her till 10, so, or everybody's yawning throughout. So, and then friends that had recently broken up with their exes and kind of dealing with how do I go back into the dating pool at this time in my life. And all that played into the sort of feeling that we wanted to impart, in the film. I'm rambling.
You're fine. It's you know what? We're NPR. You're allowed to ramble.
Terrific. So we kind of wanted to capture a little bit of that. And then we also wanted, you know, we weren't going to set out to make an action movie because all we could afford in our budget would be like, you know, a kid on a tricycle making a mean face.
Or Schnitzel chasing the tricycle.
Or my puppy Schnitzel, who is really the star of the film, facing down a kid on a tricycle. So, yeah, we wanted to figure out a story where, you know, the action can come to our hero. And,
But I think that feeling of isolation and now being able to have food delivered, groceries delivered, in a case of montage where dates are sort of self-delivered. It's possible. I mean, it's a possible thing. I believe it or not, as I was watching this, I kept thinking of moments of the film Her, and I also kept thinking of the actually decent Will Ferrell film Everything Must Go, which kind of sounds like a gimmick, but it there's a distinct possibility that one could actually pull that off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what? A question that I get a lot on Q&As when we've been traveling this film to various festivals is, what's the longest you've ever stayed at home without really leaving your house? And Honestly, like I've definitely. I mean, aside from like a quick trip to the grocery store, if I'm immersed in work, yeah, I could definitely see myself doing like a week or two. It's easy with. I mean, all that dating stuff, which you know, the guy has an active dating life, and women come to him. Like that happens with OkCupid and Tinder and all those things. It's yeah, you can have your date come over to your place, or you go over to their place, and you don't really have to meet ahead of time at a bar. And yeah, it's all done on online forms now. So it wasn't that much of a stretch, which we found very interesting.
No one will be seated during. No one will be admitted during the heated foosball scene.
Ah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, we got some really awesome comedians from the Toronto film community. So the scene you're referring to is with Vanessa Frantowski. So she, did you see that Avicii video that got like, I think, roughly 5 billion hits in the last year where she has this weird kind of groundhog fantasy day?
I, you know what, I'll ask my 12-year-old daughter, because I'm sure she has seen it before I have. So
yeah. So, I mean, look her up, Vanessa Frantowski of Avicii. It's one of the best music videos I've ever seen. But so she's like a Canadian Comedy Award winner. Like everybody in our supporting cast is Second City alumni, Canadian Comedy Award winners. A part of the reasoning for that is we kind of took cues from Lynn Shelton in putting mm-hmm. this movie together. And we had, you know, a script locked down, but we wanted to shoot in sequence. We wanted to have great improvisers who can give us alternate takes, take after take after take, and we shot everything with two cameras at the same time to catch all of that improvisation.
Well, it's real streamlined, and yeah, now that you mention that the acting community, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and it's, you know what, it's a romantic, and there is some romantic comedies, especially when you have the most beautiful delivery person in the history of deliveries comes into the second. I know, comes into the.
You're gonna love this.
Yeah, I know. It's not called stalking; it's called Very Focused Affection. But it's my wife's laughing at me. But it does go into the elements of a romantic comedy, but it doesn't feel like it's been on familiar territories. It's been played 1,000 times. There is a moment near the end of the film. I'm not going to give it away, but it involves your character in a roof, and it works. Mm-hmm. And it didn't make me upchuck.
Good.
It worked really well.
Thanks, man.
Sure. Now, and there's two other as far as title drops. First off, your character is a film critic, and you brought up Marion Max, which I think is a great move. Not enough people have seen that film.
Oh, that's one of the best movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we drew on a lot of our real life with this film. I mean, I love pro wrestling in real life.
You know what? We have film critics here in Indy that are big pro wrestling fans as well. My father was a ringside physician for boxing and wrestling back in the 60s. So there's nothing to be ashamed about. And, you know, Canada's a hotbed for wrestling.
It is, yeah. We, you know, Stampede Wrestling, Bret Hart, Stu Hart, and all that. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. We were there. But yeah, you know, so we kind of got to give shout outs to things we like, because, you know, in this movie, we funded it ourselves. We didn't have any financial backing from anybody except for an Indiegogo campaign, which is like Canada's Kickstarter to finish up the film. So we had nobody, you know, with a little notebook going like, pro wrestling doesn't taste test well. You know, it was just, so we gave the shout out to Lynn Shelton, Marion Max, pro wrestling, BBC Earth. And, a lot of those, the foosball scene, the scene with myself and Vanessa, this sort of like nightmare date scenario, is very, very much based on my real life experiences.
Oh,
being a single man.
Oh, hang in there. The other one I was curious about. There's a scene of reconciliation between near the end, where I say about maybe 2/3 of the way through the film. It involves playing video games together. Is that is that an homage to Big Night?
No.
Wow.
I haven't seen Big Night.
Oh, you should go rent it. There's the final moment of Big Night where two feuding brothers reconcile and not a word is said. Now, it just reminded me of that. So now you have to add that
two
to the
two feuding brothers. Big Night. Okay, yeah. I will check out Big Night.
Stanley Tucci, Tony Shalhoub. Really, really, it's a lot of fun. So how many festivals have you been to here in the States with the film?
We got a lot of love from the States. We premiered in Houston, and that was our premiere. We got best comedy there. Then we opened up the Seattle Independent Film Festival, which was a lot of fun to us because that's, you know, the one that Lynn Shelton's Hump Day played at, and we sort of referenced that movie in ours. Then we played Port Townsend, which was an amazing festival. We played Indianapolis, but I couldn't go to that one, so that's why I'm super stoked to be in the flesh in person at Heartland with my writing partner, the film's director. So overall, I think we've done about seven festivals so far, actually.
Very good. So I remember you and I were talking before off air before the show. You had an audition, or you're going to an audition?
I have an audition coming up. It's a commercial. This burger is delicious. How much is it? $4.99. And scene. Yeah, you know, it's one of those.
Well, that's a good start. You know what? Burger things will happen.
Yeah, no, it's, we need to finance. We're putting together the script for the next feature, so whatever I can book and put away in the old bank account.
Can you give us a
will help.
Can you give us a taste of what the next project will be?
Yeah, I mean, it's unlike Ben's at Home. If Ben's at Home is about a dude staying at home, this is a road trip movie, and it's a road trip movie, and it's a coming out story. It's a brother and a sister who the sister, after leaving her boyfriend on bended knee at the start of the film, convinces her brother, who she discovers is gay when she walks in on him and a man, to continue the Euro trip that she was on with her ex and end up at the parents in Spain to kind of facilitate his coming out of the closet to them. And it's a little bit based on, you know, my brother came out not very long ago, and kind of what he went through, just, you know, with parents and friends that you would think living in 2014 and being very educated and in most ways very liberal would be completely accepting and understanding and supportive, but had this sort of resentment and had these kind of old-timey ideas of, what it is to for their son to be gay and sort of how they kind of navigated that. So I haven't seen too much out there that explores this with very kind of real, believable characters that, you know, you yourself might know. That's a story we want to tell.
So you also make reference in the film of your top five sleep list. Who's on yours?
So Natalie Imbruglia from Torn.
Uh-huh.
From the music video for Torn. So not now, Natalie Imbruglia, 1998. Man, I go for a lot of like female rockers. I like my music, and I like chicks that scream and play the guitar. Because I would also then say like Shirley Manson from Garbage.
Yep.
I would say Joan Jett. Yeah, those are the three right now that are coming to my mind.
That's okay.
Of course, my girlfriend.
Oh, that's, good move. Good. Well done, sir. That's.
Thank you. If I could clone my girlfriend again, that would be five.
We'll just say, by the way, no, in no particular order.
Yeah. No. Four and five, of course. Come on.
All right, folks, you can check out Ben's at Home Saturday the 18th at 8:15 p.m. and Friday the 24th at 8:45 p.m., both times at Castleton 14. Dan will be there. If you tell him you heard it on Film Sociology, well, you're on your own. But Dan, we really, really appreciate your time, and congratulations on the film.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, hopefully you see you when you come into Indiana. By the way, if you go 30 minutes in any direction outside of Indiana, those beliefs, they're still there.
Okay. So. Cool.
All right, Dan. Thank you so much.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Yep, bye. All right. got guests. We have guests on the phone, and we have a guest in studio. We have Jason Raymer, who is the vice president of the Indiana International Film Festival.
Yep, we have recently rebranded
I'm
to the
IIFF.
That's right.
There
so
you go.
It's
so
the Indie Film Fest now.
And I know you folks also had Ben's at Home on earlier this year.
Yep, and it was a great screening. I'm glad Dan will be here in Indianapolis. So we had a post-screening interview with Dan for our festival, which I think he was in his underwear for. So,
well, I didn't get a chance to ask him, but 10 days, that's a lot of time without pants.
That lightens
the laundry a little bit. So that's pretty good. Now, Jason, you're here because there is a continuing series going on with the IIFF, and it's next weekend.
It is. Yeah, we kicked off. It is part of our expanded year-round programming is the Rock and Reel series, which we kicked off on October 2nd out at the White Rabbit, and we continue it next Thursday with a film called Mateo. Which is a
it is not me, Cobe.
It's an incredible documentary about Matthew Stoneman, who went to jail for armed robbery, spent 4 or 5 years in prison, where he learned to play mariachi music, learned Spanish. And kind of came out and has rededicated his life to
the gringo mariachi. I think it's kind of
exactly
referred
right.
to.
Yeah.
And so there's a number of scenes where he is going to play everything from weddings and then playing in Mexican restaurants for tips.
Yep.
And it all goes to him trying to finance a trip to Cuba so he can finish recording his latest epic.
Yeah. In the film, he talks about he's spent upwards of $300,000 in the last 10 years funding these trips to Cuba.
That's a lot of money for that album.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing, like, the first 5 minutes of the documentary, you really get a sense of this kind of hapless, hopeless character kind of living in this really rat hole of an apartment in L.A.
Yeah, a little scary.
It is very scary. But that amazing scene when you see him in that little club with 7 or 8 people and he opens his mouth and starts to sing, mm-hmm. and it's like, it just totally changes from there.
Right. Yeah, because it's kind of a, but you know, he's a very unique looking individual.
He is a very unique.
Doesn't look like the mariachi singer he should be. But yeah, as you said, when he sings and plays, it's really impressive.
Yeah, he has no mariachi saunter.
Right.
Yeah. He
and then
around.
And then going down to Cuba, where it's a whole different story. A nice little. I'm a big fan of the documentary Buena Vista Social Club, which he has mentioned, and he has worked with some of those musicians
right.
on that project. But then to go down there, and it's like home for him to be able to be with friends, chase women, and record. And the recording sessions are a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much most of it from what I've seen in the film is everybody in the studio at the same time and recording live,
exactly.
like the good old days.
Yeah, that relationship with his kind of adopted family in Cuba, while he has that his own distant relationship with his New Hampshire family, was kind of fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And It's a fun story. I guess I'm a sucker for the musicians on the road story. I know there's a couple of those that have played in Indiana throughout the year. But yeah, as you said, he's rehabilitated himself, but there's still moments where, well, I'm gonna word this carefully. There's a scene in a room with a young lady.
Yes.
That borderline voyeur. Well, not borderline voyeur. It is voyeurism, and it was a little uncomfortable to see how far they were going to show
yep.
that particular scene. Do you know anything about that particular sequence
you know,
being made?
I don't. In the articles that I've read about from the director and filmmaker, and they spent. I think he said he spent 5 years following Matthew. On
again,
and off again.
Huge commitment.
Yeah. And I think he said he approached, after a certain segment of time, he approached Matthew and said, you know, there's a lot about you that is not very savory, and it doesn't paint a very good light of who you are. And he essentially just told him, whatever you want to shoot, whatever you want to show.
Wow.
You know, I'm not hiding anything.
That's that's rare.
Yeah.
I think that's rare.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the most squirm-inducing moment of the film. And you know, I just hit on some actress I don't even know. hi, honey. But yeah, the if you're into music documentaries, it's a lot of fun. But it, and it does show the warts and all. You want this guy to succeed.
Absolutely. I recently went on CDBaby and downloaded his album.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like the only place I could go find it.
Well, and there is a moment of it also shows near the end without giving away a whole lot the universality of music, and sometimes success comes in the most unlikely places.
Absolutely.
I guess in the Spinal Tap world, that would be Sex Farm being a hit in Japan. So anyway, how did you come about finding this film?
You know, our president, Craig Mintz.
Hi, Craig.
Stumped upon the film and kind of shared it with us, and it was a home run. And that was actually the first film that we had locked in for this four film series.
Okay, and tell us the other films in the series.
So we opened on October 2nd with Pulp. A documentary about the British band from the
right. There's also a Michael Caine film from the early 70s with Mickey Rooney that it threw me off for a second, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and so it was a great turnout for that, a really fun event. Then we have Mateo next week, and then we close out with a film, a narrative called Frank with Michael Fassbender and Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Oh, right.
Yep. So
okay.
That's Thursday, October 30th. Which, you know, people are just crazy about the reviews about that film.
Mm-hmm.
And then we close the series with Nick Cave's 20,000 Days on Earth, which is kind of a documentary narrative, kind of exists in the Nick
Cave-esque.
Cave space. Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Cool. So just remind folks, where can they see Mateo next Thursday?
It's at the White Rabbit in Fountain Square. Doors are at 7 and the show is at 8. We do DJ before the screening for an hour, and we have some movie-themed drink specials that Andrew over at the White Rabbit has cooked up for us.
Like what?
He is not for the Pulp screening. He did have some amazing four different cocktails, so he's promised to do the same for this.
We need Kobe. We need a cocktail for the show.
A signature drink.
We need a
signature.
What would be the film sociology signature?
Man, I don't know.
I don't know either. I have tried to say to a certain somebody, I think a blues brew. Although the Slippery Noodle has a blues brew, but I think a blues house party brew would be kind of cool.
That would be righteous.
Thanks, Brohem.
I could have Andrew work on that for
you. The film sociology cocktail. We'll have to work on that.
That's
a good project to have. So all right. So I guess we're kind of going against format, and that's okay here at Film Sociology. And Jason, you can add a little bit?
Sure.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
That. We're going to head to the Art Craft Theater in Franklin starting tonight. Of course, if you're hearing this on Sunday, sorry. But starting tonight, it is the Alfred Hitchcock Film Festival. Heading down to the Art Craft in Franklin, go to historicartcrafttheater.org. For all the information, it's happening tonight and tomorrow. Tonight at 7:30 p.m., Psycho. You've handled that, Kobe.
Yeah.
You survived that. And then at 10 o'clock, The Lady Vanishes.
Don't know it.
It's one of his early films, ones that he made in England before coming here. And then Saturday at 2 p.m., The 39 Steps.
Awesome.
Yep, that's another one of his early ones. At 4 p.m., Rebecca, Joan Fontaine, Laurence Olivier. At 7:30 p.m., Rear Window, and then at 10 o'clock tomorrow night, Rope, with Jimmy Stewart, the one that looks like it's one long continual take, very clever filmmaking. That's a fun lineup.
Will Alfred Hitchcock be there, or is he going to Skype in?
No, he's not. And not Horatio Sanz is Alfred Hitchcock either. Thank you, Bill Hader, Vincent Price special skit for that. Anyway, that is happening this weekend at the Art Craft Theater. So if you're down in Franklin, that's going to be a fun couple of days. And then you can walk amongst the leaves, but not amongst the tombstones. That's not in theater still. Kobe, do you know what's happening at your alma mater?
You know I do.
Yes.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, Friday, October 10th. Listening on Sunday. I'm sorry it's too late. Matt, this is right up your alley.
Yes.
In the Blaxploitation Horror of the 1970s series.
Yes, sir.
At IU Cinema tonight, 7 o'clock from 1976, J.D.'s Revenge.
I have J.D.'s Revenge. Glenn Turman, the star of Cooley High, plays a, if I remember right, I think he's a student at Tulane whose body becomes possessed by the soul of a famous, vicious New Orleans gangster. And I'm not making this up. And Lou Gossett Jr. is also in this. He's a preacher with a past, and there's flashbacks where he's wearing, I think it is a hairpiece. Sorry, Sir Lou. He's not knighted, but he's an Oscar winner. So anyway, JD's Revenge, yes, good fun action horror film there. What else is going on?
Tomorrow, Saturday, October 11th at 3 o'clock from 1943, Shadow of a Doubt.
On more Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
Still Hitchcockian.
And then follow that up at 7 o'clock from 1957, Desk Set.
Oh, Tracy and Hepburn.
Mm-hmm.
Has Fair Sweet Bianca inflicted Tracy and Hepburn on you yet?
No.
I think you would like some of those. Okay. Woman of the Year and Desk Set.
No,
Adam's Rib.
Don't know it.
Don't know it.
Don't
I think you'll
it.
Like it. You know what? She's feisty and athletic, Buster.
Sunday, October 12th, 3 o'clock, IU Cinema, in the CineKids series from 1954,
The Godzilla. Kids will love it. The original Godzilla.
Yep.
Cool.
And then at 6:30 p.m. Sunday evening in the International Art House series at IU Cinema from 2014, the foreign language drama Stray Dogs.
Oh, wait. The Kurosawa film?
From 2014.
Oh, no, that's right. You said from 2014. That's right. There is a film called Stray Dogs, not the Kurosawa crime drama with the same name. I got to work on that. The thing, you know, of course, you mentioned the Blaxploitation series going on at IU Cinema.
Yes.
Thank you, John Vickers. I know. Double check with me. I think it's Halloween night,
yep.
Or is it Halloween weekend?
Looks like it's just Halloween night.
Halloween night. They're just showing the first one, the original one, right? They're showing Blackula. I think there should be a Film Sociology road trip.
Field trip, 9:30.
We've
Halloween
got
night.
To go see that on the big screen. I think that would be to quote Jim Rose, phenomenal. Also, the fact that it was announced this week, I don't know, enough people asked for it, and I was one of them. But in February, there's going to be a Blu-ray release of Blackula and Scream Blackula Scream. I have been demanding this for years.
Whoa.
Well, been demanding this for years. I've written Criterion. I still think Criterion should handle, you know, a two-disc edition of the, but since I think another organization is
going to be in line
that.
At midnight.
Oh, jeez. You know where I live, I don't think they do that. So that would mean hightailing it over here. I don't know if I want to see that group, really. A bunch of other people looking like me. Not sure if I want that. Very excited. Anyway, I'm really happy. I hope it's chock full of goodies. It should be, because I screamed at Criterion. I even offered to do the commentary because I know they're, you know, they want Film Sociology words.
Hey man, you know what you should do.
Yes,
tell you
right.
What you ought to do.
You know what you ought to have on your show? Kobe, you know what you ought to play on the cooldown?
What?
Brazilian music.
Hey, that's what I do.
What is, actually, speaking of, what's happening on the cooldown this weekend?
A little of this, a
wow.
little.
Stop being Joe Shearer. Stop. I give you time to plug your show, and you just, yeah, it's that.
You're just going to have to tune in and find out Saturday nights at 7 right here on WFYI HD to the Point. The cooldown.
It's a fun show. It's on right before, if you flip over to HD1 at 8 o'clock with the Blues House Party. I have, I'll be playing blues, you know, a little of this, a little of that.
A little of this, a little of that. Some dead folks, some living folks.
All right, Abdul. Jeez, man. While the show is going off the rails, I want to give a big shout out to the cast and crew of Sherlock Holmes, The Final Adventure. Today, if you're listening on Friday, is their opening night. So performances tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday afternoon. The evening performances are at 7:30. Matinee is at 2 o'clock. And then the following Friday and Saturday evening at 7:30. Go rct.org for more information. Why am I plugging Sherlock Holmes in Richmond? Because yours truly is playing Professor Moriarty.
There you go.
And of course, Emma has called you out, Cobe, mm-hmm. from our phone conversation. When are you guys going to come over? Emma sounds just like her dad. See, See, Jason, we have this thing where we imitate people by just not sounding like them at all. Like Kobe's impression of me.
Mad. I live in Richmond.
Yeah, I'm Kobe.
I like the Lions.
See, exactly. He's like Frank Caliendo over there. It's like Bill Hader. So
when you guys gonna come over? I'm Kobe.
I wish the Colts would score more points. okay, so that is happening. Let's take a break.
All right.
Let's take a little break. And
listen to Blackula?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think definitely we should play some Blackula music. Gene Page did the score. Great. Phenomenal. And when we come back, more movie talk. Seriously. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD 2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Robert Irvine, and you're listening to Film Sociology, WFI in Indianapolis.
That's our buddy Robert Irvine, who has shows. He's doing live cooking shows this weekend in Evansville and Louisville. So go to Robert Irvine's website for information on that. We are still trying to get him back on the show sometime fairly soon.
You know what?
What, Kobe?
As I was looking through...
By the way, we're on the food portion of Film Sociology,
of
course.
As I was looking through my audio vault here.
Yes, the great audio vault that we have here.
We're coming up on somebody's, a certain someone's peak time.
This is Sammy Terry being terrorized with you, with Film Sociology. Have many pleasant nightmares.
I'm glad you brought that up, Cole. Yes, I need to send a note to
he's probably
to Mr. Terry.
Yeah,
to Sammy Terry. We should have him on.
He's
of
probably
course.
Waking up about now.
You think?
I mean,
it's his busy month.
Yeah,
but we'll try to get him on the show.
Yeah, we're 10 days into the month.
Yeah, but we'll check out.
He's probably out doing stuff.
And, of course, it's going to be busy this year because Halloween falls on a Friday.
Oh.
Yes, that means kids are going to be out super late. Or they're going to come down to IU to see Blackula with us. I think that's...
Get yourself a Film Sociology cocktail and come on down to IU.
Most definitely. Yeah. Most def. So, I mean, I think we should also talk to Fair Sweet Bianca as well as Lynn and Emma. So make it a family affair.
Hey,
Abdul will go. This is the thing we've talked about. So by the way,
Fridays with the Sozi, Shabazzes,
and
Slagles.
So Jason Raver from the IIFF is here. We've talked for a long time. But he's a newlywed. He's been married a year, and we've talked about you have your married friends, and he has is two examples: the Sozis and the Shabazzes. So I think going to watch William Marshall. Have you seen Blackula at all?
I have not.
Okay, you really got to add that to your queue.
Yep.
William Marshall's amazing in it, and it's a lot of fun, and it's fun. And IU is showing it on the big screen. See, you know what? I think I sound like Fair Sweet Bianca with Gone with the Wind. I see Blackula on the big screen.
Are you stoked, bro?
I am like 98% of college men stoked. So that's going to be a lot of fun. All right. We're going to talk about what's new. I know we kind of flipped the format a little bit because we had the show's all over the place. It's all right. We had Dan on the show earlier. But opening in theaters today, we have Addicted, which apparently is based on a novel. It's based on the novel by Zane. Don't you love one-named authors? The writer of erotic fiction or erotic noir. This is according to Nuvo. Oh, gosh. It's inspired by the Cinemax series Zane's Sex Chronicles. Nobody in the building knows this, so that's okay. We also have Dracula Untold, because apparently we need a new Dracula story. Big sigh from Kobe Slagle. You've seen the trailer
for
this?
Yes, I've seen the trailers, and I didn't realize that it was opening this weekend.
Yes. Well, I guess they can't have it closer to Halloween, but... are you ready for a new telling of Dracula? Almost like an action star, like Van Helsing.
It looked a lot to me like I, Frankenstein.
Well, that's a bad film. I sat through that.
Yeah,
I sat through that for the show. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I do for the program: is occasionally see films like I, Frankenstein. Yeah, that's a bad double feature idea.
Side note, unrelated, but
yes,
kind of related.
That's never...
not stopped me before.
So basically,
not
the show...
Not going to stop me today. Really looking forward to The Book of Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll see.
Animated feature coming out. I think, is it next week?
I think it is next week.
Okay.
We'll have to check on that. Also, we have, speaking of books made into movies, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And now, normally I would say, way to go, Steve Carell, to be married on screen to Jennifer Garner. This looks like the exact opposite of making a film based off of a kid's book. Looks like the opposite of Where the Wild Things Are. They're taking a very short book and expanding it, and talk about shenanigans and chicanery. I think that's going to be all over this film.
Probably.
Didn't ask for it. pardon my French, Le Grand Cahier. Also known as The Notebook. No, it is not a French version of the Nicholas Sparks novel. It is a French-language bestseller about Hungarian twins forced to move with their wicked grandmother at the end of World War II. So no Crying in the Rain and no bearded Ryan Gosling. Sorry about that. And heard a really good review on Morning Edition today of Kill the Messenger, based on the biopic of journalist Gary Webb, played by Jeremy Renner, who was working for the San Jose Mercury News about links between CIA backed Contras and the crack cocaine epidemic in the 80s. So anyway, those are in theaters. I did see finally the new film from Robert Downey Jr., The Judge.
Oh, yes.
And by the way, big props to Chris Lloyd of the Film Yap and, of course, on Indie Style. He was at... The big hullabaloo last week was that Robert Downey Jr. was in town for the screening of The Judge, because he's not only starring in it, but he's an executive producer on it, as is his wife. It's his production company. So he kind of it was fun. There was already a buzz going on Friday.
He was here?
He was here.
Oh.
He was here to introduce the film and do a little Q&A.
And the movie takes place here in Indiana.
I'm going to get to that. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get to that while I sit up on the front porch. But it's when we were at when we were doing our critics forum last week, there had already been rumors among the press that one of the stars of the film was going to be there. And of course, you do things like, is he named Robert? Because then you have a 50-50 chance. It could be Duvall or it could be Downey. Either way, that's kind of a win-win. Or, you know, is the person an Oscar winner or has an Oscar nomination? Because then you have Duvall, Downey, and Billy Bob Thornton. That's not bad either. But of course he made the appearance, and if you go to Indie Style's page, and I think it's also on the Film Yap, but you can see Chris Lloyd interviewing Mr. Downey. So kudos to him on getting that interview. This is a film with Downey playing a hotshot lawyer from Chicago who has to go back to Southern Indiana to attend his mom's funeral. His dad is a famous longtime career judge played by Duvall, very crusty, very set in his ways. And, of course, is accused of murder. And, of course, the son, who doesn't get along with his dad, winds up representing him in court. So that's pretty much the story itself. Billy Bob Thornton plays a shark of an attorney who comes down from Gary. I can't imagine Billy Bob Thornton in Gary, Indiana. By the way, I should correct myself. Boxmaster's frontman, Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to. And I thank The Onion for this. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and find Billy Bob Thornton's interview on the show Q, which you can hear Monday through Fridays on WFYI HD1. Not a fun interview. Fun to listen to. Not fun being on the other end of that.
No.
But anyway, this is a film that, and I know it got a Truly Moving Pictures seal of approval, and it has storylines that we have seen before. The father and son who don't get along. The person that you're too close to, or maybe not close enough, that you have to represent in court. Guy going back to his hometown that he's not happy with. Girl from his past in that small town, played by Vera Farmiga. Hello. And dealing with the family. Vincent D'Onofrio is in the film playing his older brother. So there's those cliches. There's also the cliches of the courtroom scene. Of course, the last 15 minutes is very intense. You know what, Kobe? Court things happen.
Okay.
Are you shocked, really?
Well, I have a question, but continue.
No, ask away. Yes, there are court things.
You know my feeling on court movies.
Oh, but yes, but share it with the rest of the people.
Actually, you know what? I forget what my second favorite. Or no, yes, it was 12 Angry Men. There we go.
12 Angry Men and my Cousin Vinny are,
yes,
your favorite courtroom
films. The best
films.
Court movies ever.
Ever.
Period. How does this stack up, Matt Sosi?
I don't think it's going to crack your list.
Okay.
Especially because your list does not include The Verdict. Anyway, and it's also out of state the bank. Anyway, the performances in it are really good. Downey, we expect, I guess, Downey to be the hotshot who, as time goes on, he gets to see his vulnerability. He gets to go toe-to-toe with Robert Duvall, who's also very good. And Duvall really opens himself up in this film. As time goes on, we find out, he's got to be, well, his character is in his late 70s, and Duvall allows himself to be vulnerable about being a grown man in your 70s and the fact that he lost his wife recently and doesn't get along with his kids, and how should I put it? His physical bearings are starting to come. There's a scene in particular involving the son helping the father to clean himself up. Which I was like, wow, that's something you don't see every day. And it's handled with a nice stroke, especially when the director had made something previous like Fred Claus. It's handled delicately. I will give it that. There are some really nice moments in the film, even if the storylines are familiar and the directing is a little heavy handed. There's a scene, and I know it's in the trailer, where Duvall and Downey are yelling at each other during a storm. Get it? Because things are not calm with the people. So anyway, this is one of those films where the performances help shine over the film itself. It's also 2 hours and 20 minutes. There's a couple of subplots I don't think are necessarily needed, but I still think it's worth checking out. Now, sir, Jason, you mentioned it's supposed to be set in southern Indiana, and it looks like, and there's references to Evansville. And I kept looking at, like, could be Madison, could be not. But I, of course, stayed for the credits. Shot in Massachusetts. So I think, oh, yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
Almost continue.
Yeah, that's 0-for-2, I think. films set in Indiana, 2. Films shot in Indiana, 0. So between this and Fault in Our Stars, by the way, that was set in Indianapolis, shot in Pittsburgh. So I guess the tax benefits are good in the state of Massachusetts. Did not know that. I do now. But Jane Roulon, just a reminder, we miss you, dear. We miss you very, very much. And so, yeah, there's my soapbox about films. And I wondered, and maybe it's because it hits a little close to home, but I started wondering if they were overcompensating the fact, because I kept trying to remember how many times they made reference to the state of Indiana and Indiana State Prison and things like that. If you overcompensate to make up for the fact that it shot somewhere else. Oh.
So there was no B-roll of Indiana landmarks.
I don't think there is any. I really don't. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, email me, and that's fine. I'll check that out. I'm not, because this was one of those films I saw it this morning, and I came straight here. So, you know, if I'm wrong, send me an email or send it to me on Facebook or Twitter at Matthew Soucy, and I'll check into that. We'll talk about this on the show next week. But yeah, this kind of hurt. And you know, I wondered if anybody, when Mr. Downey was in town, brought this up. I don't know. So there you go. There is that. Jason, have you besides things at work, have you seen any films recently? New, old, doesn't matter.
You know, I have a side question since it is
sure.
Halloween. I'm always intrigued about new scary movies.
Kobe, that's a big no, right?
yeah, just.
just. So I guess I'll field this question. It starts with current scary films.
Any scary films?
Oh, any?
Yeah. If you had to pick one night, you're
Blackula.
Gonna watch a film.
I think did we just go off on Blackula for like 5 minutes?
Were you gonna say one night pick one film or one night set a lineup?
No, nope, one night pick one film. You only get one horror film to scare yourself with.
Kobe, why don't you take that? Because Kobe.
I don't know. I need to think about that for a minute because I wouldn't voluntarily watch something to scare myself.
Right, and there's a lot of people that share that opinion.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the studio, but I'm with you to a degree. I like to see smart, scary films. I grew up, you know, in the era where all you needed was a blonde model and to go out without pants and see where the noise is, and you know, and then
away you go.
Right, and then that's how they go. Right.
Away we go.
And away we go. You know what? Yeah, horror things happen.
Yep.
Wow, Psycho. Psycho comes to mind, and maybe because that's also playing tonight down in Franklin. Had fun watching The Shining with the child. You don't hear that every day. So, Jason, do you have one?
Well, I have an origin story of scary movies.
Oh, please do.
So I grew up. My parents were away. I was, you know, 10 years old, and my brother took me downstairs. Put The Exorcist on.
Oh boy!
You don't have to stay and watch this, but you can go back upstairs on your own.
See that the first I showed friends in college The Exorcist, and this is where I started to become an old man at I think age 21, because the first 40 minutes they were bored out of their skulls. And I kept saying to be patient, because the slasher movies of the 70s, somebody's getting a knife in the head within the first 5 minutes,
yeah.
Right? And I'm like, no, you got to stay with this. And as The Shining's the same way. Once it kicks into gear, oh, man.
Yeah.
So how did you stay for the whole?
No, I stayed for the whole thing. But it did kind of backfire on my brother because he did have to sleep on the floor in my room for like the next 2 weeks because I just would not fall asleep without
sleep. Wow. How's that for siblings, you know? That's a good one. Should mention also, this weekend at Keystone Landmark Art, Keystone Arts, mm-hmm. They're showing at midnight A Clockwork Orange.
Oh.
You've not seen A Clockwork Orange.
I've not made it through it.
Not made it through it. How far have you gotten?
I've read the book, but the movie
really?
I've not.
Ooh.
I can't remember. It's been a long time.
And this is not, I mean, this is not a scary film per se. It's disturbing.
Very disturbing.
Very, very disturbing. A little real, a little more grounded, I think, than just a ski mask killer. Great performance by Malcolm McDowell. Great directing by Stanley Kubrick. As I learned in my college days, not a film you want to show a girlfriend in the early stages. Nope. I was one of several knuckleheaded cinephiles that I was passionate about particular films and wanted to share them with people, especially girls that I wanted to date and have a long relationship with. And I learned Clockwork Orange, Taxi Driver, not good in the early stages.
Didn't do it. Didn't
no,
work.
Not at all. Not in the least. And it was also the time when Cape Fear came out. And that was one of those films where if you hadn't seen it, I would grab your wrist and drag you to it. Not good to do in the early stages. I look back. Amy, I adore you, and I'm really sorry about those. Those were bad, bad early signals that I, of course, had no concept of whatsoever. So, and this also spawned into, we talked about bad first movie dates, and a buddy of mine, I dragged one to One False Move, a Carl Franklin film that had a young Billy Bob Thornton, and had all I knew about it was a Ball State graduate was in it, an actress named Cinda Williams, who would have been, she had already been in Mo Betta Blues with Spike Lee. And I just knew that she was in it. And there was a girl I desperately wanted to take out, and she agreed to go out with me. And within the first 5 minutes of the film, people are tied up and plastic bags are put over their head, and it just kind of went downhill from there. But on the flip side, my buddy Sean took a first date to Platoon.
Wow.
Because he's a big Oliver Stone fan. I don't think they're dating anymore. So, you know what? Oliver Stone film's probably not a good first date film either. What was your first? Do you remember your first film with Fair Sweet Bianca? Was not Gone with the Wind.
No, it was not. It was The Conspirator.
Really?
It was.
The Robert Redford Lincoln film?
Whatever one came out 3 years ago.
Where, yeah, Lincoln's, it's, yep. Yeah, it's about the trial of John Wilkes Booth, directed by Robert Redford. Wow.
Yep.
Did you like it?
Kind of.
That's our sound. I think that's our sound clip for Mediocre now.
Yeah.
You
got to
pull that. So,
but you're still together.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, they are the stars of their own sitcom, as is all of us, really. How about you, Jason? Any bad first movie, first date movies?
You know, I don't have any bad first date movies. We come from a household of like a multiple viewing, unlike you, unlike Dan. My wife, it takes several sit downs to get through the movie. And if it's a great movie, we will pause and we'll pick it up on the next night. And if it's not, she'll just say, you know, keep rolling.
Do you remember the first movie you two went to together? It's like the dating game now. It's a newlywed game.
I'll think about it.
Next week's show, cliffhanger, folks.
We've been together a long time. Might have been E.T.
Really?
I'll think about it.
How long have you been married?
We've been together for 22 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, look at going on 15 in a couple of weeks. Okay. Jeez, it's fun.
I was just thinking, if you're going to plan a night, a scary, does it have to be a horror movie, or can it just be one that scared you?
Well, see, that's
just one that scared you.
So that's why I think it's interesting that A Clockwork Orange is playing at Keystone. Now, Kobe, of course, Kobe's not a fan of scary movies,
but
he's also of the subgenre freaky movies.
Yeah.
Because I made you watch Blue Velvet.
Yep.
And that didn't go over well.
No.
Yes, Grumpy Cat.
Not what I said.
Thank you, Big Daddy.
That was not what I wanted to watch.
And he reminds me, just because I made him watch Blue Velvet does not open the floodgates to the freak films.
Yeah.
So Eraserhead's not going to happen.
Anything, I don't know. Probably not.
Anything by David Lynch?
No. Definitely no.
Wait. What about The Straight Story?
I don't know what that is.
That's a G-rated David Lynch film. It's the one with Richard Farnsworth on the tractor, who's driving the tractor. Oh, come on!
I don't know it.
No, it's not freaky. It's a lovely story.
Well, it's G-rated, so it must not be.
Exactly. So I think there's two pops we need to edit.
I think I would like to see Sunshine again.
Oh, the Danny Boyle outer space film.
Yes.
With Cillian Murphy.
Yes, because there was a scary part in there where there was a guy still on the old spaceship that ran out of gas or broke down or whatever.
Okay.
That was scary.
I've not seen that, and I know there's a strong following about that film.
I remember seeing it in theaters and just
freaking out.
Just being, wow.
Whoa. Sunshine.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Yeah, I think is it the film he made before Slumdog?
I don't know.
Check up Danny Boyle. We are on time?
Yeah.
Okay, because we don't have any dead people we like.
Just ones we don't like.
We might have dead people we don't like, but that's not happening this week. Just a reminder, Gone Girl, still worth checking out. Because of that, I sat down and watched The Social Network on Blu-ray, which is still a fantastic film. And by the way, my daughter's created the genre Men in Suits Talking. And I kept telling her, speaking of scary stuff, Emma wants to watch Seven in the daytime. She has informed me. She's a brave 12-year-old. I'll watch it, but it's in the daytime. And I'm like, okay. So we did that with Jaws, and we did that with The Shining. Was it the film you did before Slumdog?
It was.
See, your pledge dollars at work. All right, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Man, see, I wasn't even ready.
You gave me the 1 minute signal.
I know, but that doesn't always mean that I got stuff ready to roll.
Jason,
so did the Shining? How did she react to the Shining?
She, it helped that she saw an episode of South Park inspired by the Shining. So she loved Nicholson. She thinks Nicholson's crazy. So, plug the IIFF.
Yes, Indie Film Fest. Go to indiefilmfest.org for all information about our year-round programming, including the Rock and Reel series next Thursday.
And at White Rabbit, you can check out Mateo and enjoy some gringo mariachi music. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Don't forget Heartland's happening starting next week on Thursday as well. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Holmes, Watson, you're all mine.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.
You too, Irene.